I'd like to extend warm greetings to everyone listening to this conversation today. My name is Rob Christie, and I am with my dear friend, Jim Hamilton. I've been involved in what is loosely referred to as the personal growth and transformation movement for decades. And during that journey, I've had the good fortune of meeting a lot of people, teachers, people who added value to the process. And I'd rate Jim Hamilton in the top five. And there are times when I'd say he's number one. He's invented an array of technologies that are proven to support anyone who is looking to make meaningful change in his or her life. Today, we want to talk about Jim's special take on affirmations. And later on, we'll get into the concept of witness. So, Jim, take it away.
Rob, it's good to be here. It's always good to be here. Didn't you tell me you had a guru and that you went to India and got involved with a guru and had quite the experience, and that's one of your past teachers?
That's right. I had a guru, and I had the occasion to meet a man called Swami Lakshmanju, who was considered a saint in India, and had a private audience with him. I walked in one way and walked out another.
There we go. Well, that's what we're hoping for everybody here, because what we want to learn how to do as human beings is become singular in our focus. In other words, first things first. And first things first is about our connection with Source, because truly, without that connection, I almost started to say we're really dysfunctional as hell as a species, and the fact is we are. The frequency of God or Source or innate intelligence or the divine or so many other terms, really what that delivers is a governance. In fact, my original version of everything was recognizing that all the planets in our solar system stay orderly, that the migrations are orderly, that the trees and everything that buds in the spring grows, and all of it's orderly. And I came to see there's a governance that everything shares. And to enable and further enable that connection, we need to take our broadcast, what comes out of us, what I sometimes call our prayer, because what comes out of us is our prayer, actually, and our affirmations. And we need to learn how to be singular in our connection with Source. And in doing so, we come under a new type of governance, a new type of order that actually all of nature already abides by. And I can tell you, there's nothing dysfunctional in nature. Even a forest fire renews the earth, and everything kind of starts over and extends and expands. And so the idea that the humans are technically a pretty dysfunctional species, and I'm not really going to pick on the humans, because it's trial and error and cause and effect and coming to understand law of attraction that we pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and become more. And so my focus and my attention is on the idea that humans need to become singular. There's so many ways our focus goes out. We need to learn how to become singular in our connection with Source, for which then our worlds will have really interesting transformation. And as we get smarter about this, we learn how to document what we discover, which then becomes the concept of witness. But we're going to stick with the affirmation side of the story for right now. So this is kind of the beginning of the whole thing.
Well, listening to your share about what we really need to connect to. The other day, I was listening to a presentation by Dr. Isaac Elias. He's a medical researcher and a physician by trade. And he was asked the question, how come the hunter-gatherer people in Africa don't have all of the diseases we seem to contract in the West? You know, that we call these people primitive, and without hospitals, they're much healthier than we are. And he talked about a couple of things. He says, well, they eat better. They're getting fresh food, right out of the forest. And in so doing, they're closer to nature. Or, in your term, they're encountering source every day. And you've got a technology that will support us dysfunctional Westerners in making that same kind of connection.
You know, the Dalai Lama said the Western woman is going to save the world. And, women are far more subtle than men. They're actually more in their into their intuitive nature. And so what we have to do is learn how to get back to what's true. And I think the women are closer to that. Now, I'm not making less of the men because we all had that same thing. But you talk about Africa, and very loosely speaking, because there's so much I don't know about Africa, but when humans and cultures are plugged into their connection with source, and their indigenous nature is about that, they are less and less and less in their mind. So what happens is when you don't have your natural state of connection with source, which by the way, pardon me, delivers guidance, and that governance is all kind of the same thing. And so when you're out of sync with that, what happens is the brain has to manually process the world, because normally guidance is part of this natural state of connection that these indigenous African people, or just the culture over there, is more attuned to. And as we lose out of that connection, the mind takes over. And I don't get too complicated, but what happens is when we're out of our natural state of connection with source, the brain has to attempt to, well, replace guidance, and has to attempt to process the world on its own, for which the brain gets in massive overload, which is a big, a marker for the Westerners. We're all in overload. And in overload, we're restricted to the mind's version of what's what. And the mind is a very limited tool. So what I'm really saying is that Africans, if you will, are out of their minds, where we're in our minds, and we're the ones that are have hospitals, and we're the ones that have all these different diseases and all these issues. We're richer, but on the other, at the same time, we're poorer. And it's the problem is as we move away from our connection with source, or have moved away from it, the mind becomes bigger. And I can tell you, the mind's a very limited tool. If nothing else, it's limited to what it already knows as it attempts to project forward. So we've got a mind-based governance, if you will, or we got a God-based governance, and there's your fundamental difference right there.
I think anybody, and I've met a lot of people along the way who's dabbled in personal growth, has been introduced to affirmations at some point in the journey and probably gave it a go. And either didn't get the results they were seeking. Or even if they did, there was a little voice on this shoulder that said, gosh, there's something more. Something more. You've come up with something called soaring affirmations. Would you compare and contrast typical affirmations with soaring affirmations for us?
Sure. Let me start by saying that I've got 50 years background in meditation, almost 50 years, another half a year, I think it'll add up to 50. And I've lived a very, I guess, a conscious life. That's one way to say it. But I've really kind of done what I want to do. So that trial and error thing's been really big. And I started out with affirmations when I was really young. A book called The Lazy Man's Way to Riches by Joe Carbo. And it was really about, ultimately, it was about running ads, classified ads, to earn money. But the part I got out of it was the first third of the book, which was about harnessing the subconscious mind and goal setting. And so affirmations are a mechanism for becoming singular in your focus. Now, the quality of your affirmations becomes a whole nother story. And one of the things I'd like to suggest is that in the world of affirmations, how you want to feel is more important than the red convertible itself. Now, I had my 40-foot sailboat. I don't know how early that all started, but I put the deposit on my boat when I was still, was it 25? And because I my 26th birthday, I was coming down the Intercoastal from Hampton, Virginia, where I bought the boat in the Chesapeake, down to the Florida Keys, where it ended up staying for 8 years, and I was down there for 8 years. Jimmy Buffett song "Cheeseburger in Paradise" was really popular at that particular time, and I'm 6 weeks bringing a boat down to, tides, charts, all kinds of things. I'd never been around buoys and channels and all this kind of stuff. It was really quite a trip. But my point is that affirmations is the foundation of learning how to have dominion over your affairs. And I'll give you an example of an affirmation is, I really dislike so and so. I really dislike my neighbor. I really think those people are the, I wish they'd clean up their yard. I wish that's an affirmation, actually, right? So resistance to what we don't want is actually a variation on an affirmation. Choosing what we want based on what we don't want is another variation on an affirmation. Visionary mode is you're more refined, but I say for people interested in affirmations, think about your affirmations as being how you want to feel and get out of the actual convertibles in the boat thing. Even though my 39 Pearson 39 centerboard, your all natural habits, was quite the boat. I sailed to Cuba in 79, and I spent a lot of time in the Bahamas, and suntan feet was one of the affirmations back then. But to go to your question a little bit, what I have is a program called Soaring Affirmations, Prosperity, and Guidance Light. And it's a coaching program that I offer. And what we're doing is we're teaching people how to be singular in their focus. And what should they be singular in their focus about is their connection with source. You learn how to allow your neighbors. You learn how to allow the idea of whether you have a red convertible, new red convertible, and you think more about how you want to feel, and you allow all of this. But if you're going to have a broadcast, and actually you kind of need this, we need to have a rudder driving our growth, you might say, because people into spiritual growth in particular, we need to, we have, some of us have this calling that's stronger than others to about our connection. And so there's so many different ways society teaches us so many things, but we really want our focus singular in our connection. And that's what your affirmation becomes about. And that's what Soaring Affirmations, Prosperity, and Guidance Light is about. And so what we do is we teach a series of affirmations that are well proven, that are about prosperity and success and this and that.
Let me interrupt briefly, Jim. I want to emphasize a point here. So, in the typical affirmation world, it's about getting something you want, avoiding something you don't want. But with soaring affirmations, you are focusing on what is most important, your connection with source. And absent that, all those other affirmations will always come up short.
Well, so that's just about right. What I'm really saying is, in the affirmation world, we need to learn how the highest quality of affirmation is about enabling a natural state of connection with source, for which this program has become evident and avail or become available, and the results are evident because I've been doing it since 2004, 2005. But then we take that type of affirmation and we turn it into a soaring affirmation. So we have a high quality affirmation, and then we bump it up a great, gradient levels, which actually becomes. So the way I came to develop this is, I was journaling. I journaled for 2 years before I wrote Visionaries Thrive in All Times, which was my first book. And in that journaling, I very early came to understand the concept of "Good morning, Jim. We are pleased to speak with you." And that was the initiation of, instead of it just being, "I want a sailboat," or "I want this," or "I want that," I started talking from a we perspective, because I was including the cosmos. And I don't know how to get into it really quickly, but very early on in that 2 years of journaling, I mean, almost immediately, I had an experience with these ribbony shaped entities. They were kind of gold, and their bodies were kind of made out of ribbons, and they were at least 7 feet tall. And what they did was they unwrapped my heart to they asked me. I said, yes, I want more. I want to, do you want to be? And they did like a, I wouldn't call it a surgery, but they unwrapped my heart, and it turned out my heart was gold, and it just astounded me. And so very early on, I learned how to speak in the term of "Good morning, Jim. We are pleased to speak with you." Now, it wasn't about third party entities and flying saucer people talking to me. In my affirmation world, when I spoke from a we perspective, I gave myself more latitude, and I didn't limit myself to my history and what I thought I knew. With a we type of conversation in my journaling, the whole thing really opened up. And out of that became what are known as soaring affirmations, because we take a caliber and a quality of affirmation, it's well proven, and over a period of time, we bump them up and we move out of the singular written version of it to allow the affirmation to soar. Now, what ends up happening is that affirmation now has a component beyond us. And what we're actually doing is we're starting to move into guidance. We're starting to move into our affirmations being kind of driven and directed by more than just the I part of me, which is really kind of the mind part of me. And so a soaring affirmation is we start with a foundation of a certain quality of affirmation. There's actually 10 or 11 of them, you might say. And as we work on this, we write a version of the affirmation after our meditation, let's say, that has an elevation that is beyond what was written on the page so what we're doing is we're learning how to soar in our thinking in the constraint of the affirmations that we started with. So what we're doing is we're reaching toward God in a, I don't want to say third party exactly, but we move beyond the limits of the mind's version, and we allow the affirmation to grow. And then we start looking for evidence of that. And so guidance light is a component of all of this, because as we move into the we thing, it's a little bit hard to describe, but it's a very powerful deal to realize what's capable of coming out of you when you learn how to let go a little bit. And again, we start with a solid base of a specific type of affirmation that's well proven. In fact, these things are written 40, 50 years ago, maybe 70, 80 years ago. They're very so it's the when we learn how to move past the mind, we start moving back toward guidance. I guess that's the way I would say it.
Could you give us an example of a soaring affirmation and then what the next level up might be from that particular affirmation? Or would that not be constructive?
It would be constructive, but I'd have to, what I'd really, I'm trying to think of how I would pull something up. I'll tell you what. I wonder if I can stop our recording for a minute. I'll tell you what I'll do. We'll start the next segment with a soaring affirmation. We're at about, 18 and a half minutes. And so let's continue just for a couple of minutes. And then when we come back, I will have an excellent, in fact, I have a couple of excellent examples of soaring affirmations. And
Okay.
frankly, they're actually located in that page that introduces soaring affirmations, prosperity and guidance light, which would be coreresonance.com/soaring affirmations with a hyphen. And they're great examples of what a soaring affirmation looks like. It would be hard for me to move into that state, because what you're doing when you're doing these affirmations, and we're doing the practice of writing everything, we're moving into a state for which then we meditate, and we come out of the meditation and we write a new version. So, I'll tell you what, why don't we go ahead and take a break, and let's come back, and I will be prepared for that.
Okay, great. morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time you may be listening to this. My name is Rob Christie. I'm here today with my dear friend Jim Hamilton. And we've been discussing in an earlier tape a mind-blowing, fascinating, effective technology that Jim calls soaring affirmations, prosperity, and guidance light. And very briefly, my understanding of that, which I'll share right now so Jim can correct me if necessary, is he started out with I had an experience and began to embrace we, which opened his world up to new possibilities. He was already familiar with traditional affirmations, but he discovered 11 or so affirmations that were time-tested and highly supportive of personal growth. Then he discovered soaring affirmations, a way to take that base of 11 time-tested affirmations to another level. And at the end of this incredible process, guidance light showed up. And guidance light shows up when you make a genuine connection with source, God, the universe, you know, whatever word works for you there. And he's kindly offered to give us an example or two of how a time-tested affirmation becomes a soaring affirmation. Jim, first, did I get it right? And
yes,
then,
yes, you did. All right. So what occurs to me in your interpretation, and it is correct, but let me suggest that when I do the we, when I talk about the idea of we, good morning, Jim, we are pleased to speak with you, and you learn to move to an affirmation, a gradient level above, it's not a mind-driven version any longer. In other words, we don't be thinking about UFOs and flying saucers and the captain of so-and-so ship becoming part of your we, because see, that's mind-driven, and that is not, there's no guidance in that. What we want to do is move to a we where I don't even want to do a question mark. We want to think. So we doesn't mean that you're channeling a third party entity of some sort. We're not looking for anything like that. What we want to do is move into a visionary mode of what's true for us and find that internal visionary mode, tap into it, and let it express as an additional dimension of an affirmation. So clearly we're not talking to flying saucer people and asking them for help. And I use the term flying saucer people, you know, kind of facetiously. I know ships are out there. Does that mean anything to me? Really doesn't. I got too many things to put my attention to, but we're not trying to plug into other entities out there. The idea is to let the visionary mode of us excel and find its own muscle, you might say, for which. So let me show you what soaring affirmation looks like. I need to do a screen share. And apologize about the brightness of the whole thing, but this is the page where you sign up for Soaring Affirmations. Here it is right here, coreresonance.com, Soaring Affirmations. I wrote this stuff years and years and years and years and years ago. Again, I started this in 2004, 2005, and or I've got stories like this key. There's a whole, you guys need to go read this page. But anyway, I hope what I want, here we go. Yeah. So this is what a soaring affirmation sounds like. Now, I'm not giving you the original affirmation because that kind of undermines part of what I'm doing. But imagine this becomes what comes out of you as you learn this program and recognize that this stuff is held within you. I am learning. So this is a story. Can you imagine your belief systems and sense of receptivity shifting to the point that this is what comes out of you as a product of soaring affirmations, prosperity, and guidance light? This is an example right here. I am learning the lines of the first paragraphs. This is allowing the information to better seep into my mind. I'm becoming a glorious outlet for the expression of innate intelligence expressing itself, for which I'm a vehicle and expression of more unfolding onto this plane of existence. It is for me to release and let go of what I am unable, unwilling, and don't know how to do, and let God do it His way. I have a huge opportunity to become more by becoming less. It is a good use of my time. This is an example of a soaring affirmation. So it started out, and so what we do is we do our exercise as we go into a meditation. We come out of the meditation and we do what is called the insight. And so here's the second one. I'm beginning to feel the wealth of these words. I know that my supply does not come from outside of me. Clearly, it comes from within me. It comes from my intact connection with innate intelligence expressed within these pages as God. I am an expression of God and only God. For me to attempt to take what I want in deference to my true supply makes no sense. I recognize that I'm an expression of the innate, and being so, I am an extension of that which is true, good, and full of life, wisdom, and abundance. All of my needs are met because there can be no other way. I look forward to the full expression of the power and the glory of what is true expressing through me. My every need is fully satisfied with abundance and surplus. My life overflows with happiness, gratitude, and life-affirming incoming flow and wealth. I love my life, and my life loves me.
Wow.
That came out. Now, this is, I wish I could, these are early. This is when the first time I did this course, which again, I wrote the whole thing. But I was writing Visionaries Thrive in All Times, and I was writing that book. I was really plugged into kind of a different world a little bit. But you see, so affirmations are what they are. And this program, I've learned how to move it, affirmations to a whole new. So this came out of me. I didn't copy this. This came out of me by just learning how to settle into a proven set of affirmations, go into a meditation, and then they end up coming out like this. And every time we do this, and we do this properly, it's set up for 100 days, you start saturating your being with these kind of terms. And again, you're not copying them. You're becoming this, and this is what comes out of you. So next thing you know, your affirmations and your prayer and your goals, this is what they look like. I'm beginning to feel the wealth of these words. I look forward to the full expression of the power and glory of what is true expressing through me. My every need is fully satisfied with abundance and surplus. My life overflows with happiness, gratitude, and life-affirming incoming flow and wealth. I love my life, and my life loves me. And as I think I remember when I write all these things, first off, you don't edit them while you're writing. You never edit while you're writing, ever. Because you're in the flow of what you're writing. You always finish it, and then you go back and clean it up, whatever. But this stuff always came out kind of pure, kind of clean. And by the way, this course has 100% money back guarantee. So if you do it, but you have to do the lessons. You have to do 30 lessons in 45 days. And if you do 30 lessons in 45 days and don't feel like it's what I say it is, give your money back.
Jim, if I could just interject briefly, speaking personally, and I'm guessing speaking for a significant portion of our audience, I can't imagine a person seriously committed to personal growth and improving their life not resonating with these words. That's my comment. And my question is, these are the words that emerged for Jim Hamilton,
That's right.
someone who does the course. Words unique for them would emerge. Is that
Absolutely.
accurate?
Absolutely. So that's what soaring affirmations are. They're individual. That's why for me to just, use an example of what a soaring affirmation would be, kind of, like just turn, so it was much easier to, and so I have. Now I don't go back and read these again, by the way. I don't hold on. Now I obviously have a collection of all the different times I've done this program because I developed it and I continue to refine it. Last time I did it was July of last year. And I don't really push the idea too much, but I had two $2,000 checks that came in with a couple of days because I went through a period of being I broke out of a relationship and I walked away from it. I left like $300,000 on the table because I had too much in front of me to fight with my girlfriend about what we were disagreeing about, for which she kind of took advantage of me. And I walked away, and it took me a while to get my stuff back on track. There's details about how all that worked. But when it was time to rebrand Core Resonance back to Visionaries Lab, let's see if I got the Visionary. There's part of the Visionaries Lab logo. But I'm going to close this here.
I want to emphasize a point, Jim. I'm a practical guy, and the idea that I could sign up for Soaring Affirmations, Prosperity, and Guidance Light, give it some serious effort, knowing that if for any reason it didn't work for me, I could get a refund. I mean, that's enormous. That shows considerable faith from you in the power of the program and the audience.
Well, what I try to remind people is they have to do the lessons. In fact, I will make sure because it's very clear how to do the lessons. And if you do the lessons the way they are identified to be done, and there's no bullwhip or there's no forcing people to do stuff, but I lay out a program, and if you do it properly, and you do 30 lessons in 45 days. The idea that you wouldn't be satisfied would be infinitesimally small. So I want people to recognize for some people, $600 is a lot of money. And actually, you can do it in three payments. I finally decided on that. But the idea that if you do what I've laid out, the idea that you would be unhappy with it is really, really, really low. So, but you have to do the lessons, and based on that, 100% money back guarantee, undoubtedly. And of course, I have a live call, and I expect people that are having trouble or this or that to be in touch, and because I would like, so this is the first time I've ever identified the what a soaring affirmation looks like, other than going to the page. This is the first time we've talked about it in the blogging we've been doing, and so. I think it's a real powerful idea to share that. And I'll tell you what, I've literally got hundreds of those because every time I do this program, I will end up with a series of them. And they're all different, but they start with the same foundational proven affirmations. And we extend from that. And that, I don't know when I came up with the term soaring affirmations, probably a really long time ago. So it's quite the program. And so what we're doing is we're taking this is called a mind-based technology. I have nervous system-based technologies, which are a lot more complex and a lot more involved. And here you got your mind with you all the time. You're always carrying it around. Why not have dominion over our affairs by first having dominion over our mind, and then starting with a really high-quality affirmation, which would be about what? Which would be about what? Enabling our natural state of connection with source, causing our prayer in our outgoing broadcast to be singular, which, by the way, all of nature already has all that. All we're doing is retraining ourselves back to true or back to truth, for which we will see all kinds of evidence of it. I was just remarking, I had two $2,000 checks come in 3 days apart. Both of them were completely unexpected. I don't want to make this course about cash, but that was $4,000. And I that money became, because I was rebranding Core Resonance back to Visionaries Lab. And so the artwork and all that stuff and some other things, that's that money got allotted to that process. And, you know, Matt, in our next segment, or maybe we can go to this now, but what we're looking for, what we do is we learn how to have a new type of affirmation, a new type of prayer, a new type of broadcast, and then we look for evidence of it. I call that a witness. The term witness comes from radionics and dowsing, where if you're looking for gold, you have a piece of gold. And so you have you're clear on what you're dowsing for, because the witness is an actual piece of gold. If you're dowsing for water, you're not just out there dowsing and maybe you're thinking about your next TV program. You're very clear on what you're dowsing for. And that's why a witness is called a witness. And so as we learn,
would the word proof be a synonym for witness here or no?
Yeah, evidence. Yeah. But you see, radionics is about subtle energy. So the term witness is a really good term, because it the world of subtle energy and radionics and all that uses that term. And our connection with source is about subtle energy. So it's actually a perfect term. So let's continue for a couple of minutes. In the third segment, I want to go into a couple of experiences I've had that powerfully identify. So what my world is about becoming coherent. So becoming coherent first means that you have to clean up the quality of your broadcast, because most people have all the things they're irritated about, or they're irritated about their neighbor who's parked the car there, you think too long, and maybe it's leaking oil, maybe one of the tires is, you know, I don't know what a good example of that. But the things that we whine about and complain about, and we want to learn how to be singular in our focus with our connection with source, because what we want to learn how to do is become congruent. We want to learn how to become coherent. We want to learn how to become singular, because when we look at the world, we can see a glass half empty or a glass half full, or as I like to say, a glass full. And as we become coherent, the world, which can deliver anything based on how we think and how we broadcast, it can deliver anything. Cars with flat tires as your neighbors, or I'll give you this, the tiniest hint, and we'll go into this a little bit more next time, next segment here. I think I'd rather wait. So I'd rather wait till the next segment. What I want to say, though, is my world, and I've learned through not only a lifetime of meditation, but I've done like 400 neurofeedback sessions. I have my Core Resonance is all about neurofeedback, which, by the way, delivers pure guidance, because we can move out of the mind altogether. We don't use the mind as a tool, because ultimately when you move into presence, you move out of mind. And when you move out of mind, you've come to when you access presence, you're in a totally coherent space, for which guidance naturally shows up and guidance delivers you to order. So guidance light is about the idea that what we're doing is we're enabling our natural state of connection with source through the tool that is the mind, and using the mind carries certain limitations. And that's why we call it guidance light. It's not that it isn't incredibly magical, and I promise you it's far beyond what you got now. But when you can move out of the mind altogether, because the mind is actually restricts your connection with source, we can use it at its highest possibility by causing the broadcast out of us to be really clear, and then soaring affirmations make it even more so. But truly, to connect with source, we need to go beyond the mind. That's what Core Resonance is about. And as you move into becoming coherent, this access to governance becomes even more evident. And so what I'm teaching is really a gradient level of learning how to plug into source, how to plug into guidance, and we move beyond certainly what we generally know how to do and generally what's taught in the world. So you might say that's where we start with soaring affirmations, prosperity, and guidance light. And once you've understood guidance light, now you have a better reference for, maybe going to another whole nother level. But first, we can drop you off at guidance light, and your connection with source and partnership with source becomes evident in the quality of your reality creating. And that's what the term witness is all about.
Greetings and best wishes to you, whether you're listening alone or listening with others. My name is Rob Christie. I'm here today with my friend Jim Hamilton. I've spent a lot of time and a lot of years in what's loosely called the personal growth and transformation movement. And of the teachers I've experienced, Jim Hamilton's way up there. He has a set of proven technologies that can assist anyone who is looking to make meaningful change in their lives and move to a better place. In other talks, we've gone into some detail about Jim's technology, soaring affirmations, prosperity, and guidance light. And today, Jim would like to share with us some stories. He uses the term witness, which is synonymous with proof or evidence of what can happen when you engage in this incredible technology. So, Jim, take it away.
All right. So, Rob, thank you for the opportunity to interact with the world through our conversations that we record. And I appreciate your perspectives and your contribution to what we do. So what we were just talking about, first off, we were talking about soaring affirmations as being a whole gradient above and beyond the mind's version of what's what, because we want to break away from the mind and we want to cause the quality of our output, our broadcast, our affirmation, our prayer to be raised up. And the more clear we are in our broadcast, the more, you might say, the more coherent our world becomes. And as we do this, we start to see evidence for the quality of our broadcast improving. So I'm going to tell a story. This happened today is Wednesday. This was last Saturday. It's only 3-4 days old. And I actually told this story at the spiritual group that I'm part of. We get together on Sundays. So I'm in my car. And I have a bunch of water bottles, 2 5-gallon and 3 3-gallon water bottles that I'm taking to the water store to have filled. And it's in this kind of a strip mall. And this is anyway. So I back into a parking spot right next to the door where the water store is. I go back and I pop open my trunk and I start to pull the bottles out. And of course, they're empty. And just as I do, this piece of, I call it gossamer. But what it is it's a very light piece of foam plastic. So it has a foam nature to it, but it's really, really fine, like almost like paper thickness, but it's a real fine foam. And I use it. I carry books in my Visionaries Thrive in All Times. I always carry several copies. And so they're separated by this real fine wrap. Again, I call it gossamer because it's very light. And so as I open my trunk, it immediately, because there's 3 books that were in there are gone. They've been delivered or whatever I've done. And so this piece of wrap is in loose in my trunk, and it tries to fly out as soon as I open the trunk. And it's windy outside, relatively windy, breezy. And I push it back in, and as I grab for bottles, the piece of wrap comes out of the trunk and flies up into the air, and it flies up about 15 feet above me. And just as that happens, a car pulls up next to me. And I've not told this part before. The guy in the car next to me, as he pulls up, because I'm backed up to the curb to get the bottles out to go in the store. He pulls up, noses up, and I notice his beard, and it reminded me of Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh or Osho. I forgot about that part. So it's like Osho was there for a second. All right. So that's just a little side bit. And all I remember is I saw this guy's beard and it was curly. And anyway, so what happened was my first inkling is to catch the paper because it's a parking lot. I don't want trash flying out of my car. And so it hung up in the air 10 or 15, really 10 or 15 feet up. It almost acted like it felt like it was free. And I started walking toward it because it was going, if I'm backed into my parking spot, it was going to the left. It was going along the building, and there was other cars that were nosed in. And I started walking toward it, expecting it to drop because that's what it should do. But it stayed up. And what it did was it eventually went over the top of the building back to the left. And so I kept walking, expecting, I wasn't, as soon as it went behind the building, I wasn't ready to give up on catching this piece of paper. So eventually I'm walking toward it, and it comes back out from behind the building, continues in the direction away from my car, along the way the cars are parked with them nosed in along the curb and the sidewalk. And eventually it dives down and it goes in an empty parking spot between two cars. And I walk. I'm not chasing it. I'm not running because it's not that. If a piece of gold, I'd be chasing it. But or $100 bill, maybe I'd be a little more adamant about catching it. So it kind of goes in and it goes down toward the curb. I walk into that extra spot that's empty. Cars on either side. Of course, they're all parked. I don't see it. Now I'm not willing to get on my hands and knees and look for it underneath the car. So I go back. So I give up on the collecting this piece of paper that's flew out of my car. And I go back and I fill my water bottles. That has to take at least 10 minutes to do that. I come out, I put the bottles in my car, I tie them down so they can't fall over my trunk or whatever. And then I got to go down about probably the equivalent of 20 cars down. And again, they're parked nose in. And I decide to drive down there rather than walk. And it would have been very easy to walk. And I drive down there. And I go in, and there's a parking spot right by the door. And I'm after avocados. So I go in the store. I come out. And as I walk up to my car, I walk up toward the driver's side. This piece of paper, this piece of wrap is stuck at the back. It's wedged at my back tire. Now, this is 20 minutes later. And as I walk up to this piece of wrap, it comes with the wind, it comes toward me, and I put my foot on it and catch it. Now, what I want to do, and so what happened is, so I call this a witness of the world of coherence. So I live in a coherent world. Everything is orderly. That's kind of a oversimplification, but in a coherent world, you have coherent experiences. And almost 20 minutes later, this piece of plastic wrap came back to me. It caught under my driver's side rear tire. If it had caught under somebody else's tire or the other tire on the other side of my car, I wouldn't have seen it. And as I walked up to it to grab it, it actually came toward me and I put my foot on it. And I found that to be just the most incredible experience. And while it's on one hand, it's simple, I don't want to say order because order is not as big enough a word as the word coherence. Coherence suggests that there's an overall everything that abides by an overall everything. Now, earlier we were talking about governance, and the frequency of God and governance are all the same thing. And so, as I had this experience to the point that this piece of wrap came back to me, So let me show you this a little bit. So this is that piece of paper. You can see how very fine it is. And I just found it was the most extraordinary experience. Now, there's another image right here. I wasn't fast enough. So this is my car, and that's actually mud, dried mud. And that's where that piece of paper, that piece of wrap lodged until I walked toward it, for which, and you can see where the yellow stripe is on the road, on the parking lot, to where it moved from the equivalent of that mud spot to here, for which I put my foot on it. And once I put my foot on it, I took a picture. I would like to have taken a picture of it under the tire of the car, but I didn't think it would stay still that long because it didn't get there by me running over it. It was loose and free and just kind of lodged. And so I'll add a little story to that. So this, I find this to be a witness of the evidence of the coherence that I'm surrounded by. And yeah, it's a piece of trash floating out. Do I want to participate in adding more trash, to the scene, to the parking lot? And of course I don't, but I found this to be quite a startlingly, I took it in stride, of course, but I certainly had evidence of it. But something else happened the next day. And that is, so last week, you and I did a blog series called Soaring Affirmations, Prayer, and the Power of Witness. I'll read it. Our prayer is our constant broadcast to Source. Prayer is the mechanism by which we continuously interface with Source. Next paragraph, as we refine our prayer affirmations and broadcasts, we witness an upward spiral in our lives. Witnessing this upward spiral delivers an advanced level of affirmation, which facilitates the refinement of our prayer and our outcomes. So what happened was, the next would have been the next day, this last Sunday, I've kind of taken over what you might call the prayer circle, and I'm teaching people a new way to pray, which is about the idea of their connection with Source, and that their prayer and their affirmation and what they broadcast out of them is actually all one and the same. And so as we settle into this, and the same thing with the course, Soaring Affirmations, Prosperity and Guidance Light, as we move into these, even when we finish this recording, people listening to it, they may walk out the door and have something that's a synchronicity that may be a little bit surprising to them. Because as we move into more order in our lives, we start to see more order. So this card right here, I produced this as a card. It was part of our last blog post, our blog, which is on my website right now. In fact, web address would be soaringaffirmations.com/soaringaffirmations-prayer-witness. So I made this card up because I wanted on Sunday with this prayer group, and we have about 45 people are our spiritual group, and we do a little prayer component of it. I made these up to share with everybody. And what ended up happening, because I remember doing this, is I didn't put that much attention to the count. I came to realize that I was going to end up three on a page because I had to print these and then cut them. And so I did 15 pages. I didn't even really think that means 45 cards. I didn't do that. I knew that the time before we had about 40 people. I think we had around 40 people the time before that. And so when I produced these cards, I didn't count them. I kind of knew how many I had, but I wasn't paying attention. This is what happens when you move into guidance. You're not driving these things by thinking about this with your head and thinking about that with your head, not thinking. It's kind of a momentum that kind of takes care of itself. And so as I showed up that next Sunday, which was only today's Wednesday, so it's 3-4 days ago, what I did was I took that piece of gossamer, and gossamer means really light, floaty. There's actually a an airplane that's designed to fly a solar powered airplane. It has massive wings and it's very, 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 and that's called a Gossamer or something, or that's for the term. Anyway, so as I went to this group, I brought these cards. Had never counted them. I cut them all, and they all came out pretty even. And I also carried that piece of gossamer wrap. And when it was my turn to talk to the group or in a big circle, I passed the gossamer wrap to the left and the cards to the right, because I wanted people to see what I was going to tell them about this experience of this piece of wrap coming back to me and wedging itself under my tire, for which then I walked up to it and it came to me, and I put my foot on it and grabbed it. But what happened was, as I'm telling the story and the cards go around, they come around to be the exact right number of cards. I got the last one. Turned out there's 45 people in a group. And what I'm trying to express, the idea is, it was I did not put any effort in figuring out how many people were going to be there, figuring out how many cards I needed. I decided on 15 pages, which they produced three cards each. So I had 45. I didn't count them. And so that's what I'm trying to identify, is what witnessing looks like when you start moving into a really coherent space. So that's my story. I'm sticking with it. It was a fun deal to share with others, and on my because when we learn how to witness these things and realize that there's synchronicities going on all the time, they become stepping stones for the truth of us. And I think I'll stop right there. And it says
Well,
11:11
Jim,
on my clock.
if I may, I'd like to insert a couple of comments here based on what I just saw.
All right.
First of all, I'll play the cynic regarding the gossamer piece of paper.
There we go.
Ah, that's no big deal. It was just a coincidence. All right. I'll let go of the cynic and speak as Rob Christie and say, if I think about coherence and guidance leading to order, here's my friend Jim Hamilton in a parking lot who is committed to and personally experiencing all of the above. One of the things I know that he's committed to is cleaning up our planet. And it may seem like a small thing to be able to retrieve one piece of gossamer paper rather than have it become litter, but it's not a small thing. What if everyone in humankind picked up one piece of litter?
That's right.
It's not a small thing. And with respect to the cards, as I understand guidance, you, Jim Hamilton, a human being with an ego, wasn't in charge. Exactly. Instead, you were tapped in to guidance. And guidance directed 15 pages at three per page, the exact number guidance knew you would need in order to pass out one of those cards to every participant. That's not a small thing.
It's fun. It's a variation. I've touched a little bit on living life a little bit, living life bigger. When you plug into guidance, you get to live life bigger. You don't, walk around with your hand in prayer all the time. You're actually living life bigger and having fun. And so this, yeah, having fun.
I guess I'm just speculating. But I wonder, the blessing of receiving a little card that is imbued with guidance. What would be the possible positive energetic effects of that experience on those 45 people? There's the words on the card, linear left brain mind that would have an impact. But what about the energetic impact?
You make a good point because one of the things I distinctly had in mind, and I made that card in a certain size, and I didn't use heavy paper, but I used 28 pound. So, it stays, it's big enough to be intact. This was my copy of it. Was I'm trying to introduce people to the concept of witness. And witness is evidence for this greater scale of order that we can all learn how to participate in. And you're exactly right that in my intention to, I wanted people to carry that home, and my visualization was they would put it by their mirror, or they would put it somewhere, and then you bring in the catalyst idea that this effort, this card was, what's the term? Charged by the experience of everybody. Everybody saw me get the last card. And I remarked about it. I didn't make a big deal. I said, oh, wow, looks, that came out exactly right. So affirmations are one thing, a witness is another. And what's fun about the witness is it becomes a gradient level more beyond the affirmation. And so you have an affirmation, then you have a witness of it, which is a gradient level more of the affirmation. So the affirmation takes another octave or another gradient level of delivery of the message to the cosmos. Because what we want is our broadcast to clean. As we see more evidence, then we get clearer about what's true. That's what witnessing is about.
I'm sitting here wondering what it would have been like if you'd looked at the group and say, "May I share a gift with you?" "Sure, Jim, what's that?" "A little card that has been divinely blessed."
That's exactly right. That's exactly
"Which
the
you
charge,
can take
divinely
home
blessed.
and receive that blessing every time you look at the card."
Nice job, Rob.
Is
So,
that a small deal? Not in my world. That's why we're here.
we want to learn how to sense out. See, that's what we do is we sense out, whether we're using our eyes or touch or taste or smell or hear, we sense out and receive back. We want to learn how to sense out and receive back at higher and finer and higher and finer levels, because the closer we get to the frequency of God, the more the magic shows up. And I think I've touched on in the past, the quality of our reality creating, the quality of the reality we witness, is a scorecard for the quality of our connection with source. I wrote that a long time ago, too, by the way. Long time ago.
Say that again.
The quality of our reality creating is a scorecard for the quality of our connection with source. Let's see if I can do that one more time. The quality of our reality creating, i.e., the quality of what we witness, is a scorecard for the quality of our connection with source.
The only thing I can think of to add, reflecting back on the two experiences you just shared, is
Yep.
it's a good idea to pay attention so you don't miss what may appear on the surface to be a small thing.
So this is what consciousness is about. We move out of resistance, out of rigidity, out of reaction. We move into allowing. And as you move into allowing, this stuff is always there. Talk to the deer in the forest. Talk to the trees in the forest. Talk to anything in nature. And they'll tell you, well, this is, what are you talking about? This is the only thing there is. See, this is a type of governance that we want to learn how to move into. And when we learn how to move into this governance, first thing we do is we save the humans so we can then save the whales. Don't count on Monsanto to save the whales, right? It's the humans, but we have to step into our power first. And so actually my work, not only about cleaning up the planet, but world peace, moving back to our natural state of connection with source, turning Gaia into a, a heavenly home on earth for a species to actually shine into the universe like we can. And of course, I say we shouldn't be going to any other planets till we clean up our own. But, the human stepping into our power is what my work is all about. And we need to, and we do that not by outthinking Monsanto or this or that. We do it by becoming partnered with innate intelligence, blending with innate intelligence, source, God, the frequency of God, whatever you want to call it, moving out of the mind and learning how to become a mechanism by which innate intelligence expresses through us, for which ideas come to us, for which we respond and act and contribute, for which we have magic at the other end. And I'm glad you brought up the point about divine blessing on that card, because that's exactly what it was. Everybody saw it. I wonder how many people took their card home and actually put it someplace of reminder of how it can be. I wonder how many people did that. I'm not saying only a few did at all, because it's a great group.
I would say that those who were ready to receive that blessing took it home.
I saw one that was folded up at a
I can
funeral
tell
home.
you, if we'd had this conversation 10 years ago, I would have dismissed the whole thing as of little importance.
Right. Well, we get wiser, and that's part of the point of being on the planet. We have the see, we live in this polarity, world of polarity, and it's the polarities that allow us to refine our nature. Without polarity, the access to the ladder of refining our nature wouldn't be available. And so as we move out of resistance and move into more and more allowing, we become more blended with source. And ascension is at the very top of that ladder, but that's a whole nother conversation.